Good. Well, thank you for indulging with us as we went on a little trek. The creche has never been so interrupted by a squad wandering through. So some people followed, some people didn't. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Now, following people is, of course, a very common expression in our social media age. We'll all follow somebody, no doubt, on social media. Whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, no doubt you'll be a follower or someone that might even be following you, who knows? And of course, he's our friend who's perhaps the most well-known user of social media. Donald, some booze from the front here. Donald, how many people do you think are following the President of the United States? Look at it. 57 million people. Is that the population of Britain, something like that, 57 million followers. So when he sends out a message, carefully constructed, well thought through message, 57 million people will receive that. That's incredible. He's not, of course, the biggest person, or the doesn't quite have the biggest following on Twitter. Katy Perry, whoever she is, 107 million followers. Can you imagine? If you don't know who Katy Perry is, I think she's a singer. 107 million. So when she does her carefully constructed tweet, 107 million people will read them. What incredible influence from somebody who follows Katy Perry. So I put my Twitter account on there. And there I have one follower who had read my three tweets in 3 years. So following somebody is not an uncommon expression nowadays. We all follow people. But to follow Jesus is not the same as liking someone on your social media page. It's not the same as following their tweets and listening, looking at the pictures and liking things that they like. Following Jesus is a wholehearted, lifelong commitment to Jesus. It's different. And three questions I want to ask just in the remaining time this morning. Why should we follow Jesus? How do we follow Jesus? And who should follow Jesus? Three questions. Why, how, and who? You'll remember that when we leave later. So why should we follow Jesus? Well, from the verses that Robbie read to us early in Matthew chapter 4, we see from his words that we should follow Jesus. Jesus says to the people in that day, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, turn from your sins. Turn from the things that go against God's rules and God's reign. Turn in the other direction. His words were significant. And when we turn and look for another direction, well, which direction should we go? Follow Jesus. As the verses went on, we read about Jesus teaching and preaching. And those round about him were hugely influenced by it and listened carefully to what he said. So his words made him special. But not only his words, his actions made Jesus someone special. Verses 23 and 24 we read earlier in that chapter talked about Jesus healing people's illnesses and diseases. And people from all over the region, from up in the north and down the south, brought people to Jesus to be healed. So he was someone very, very special. And then thirdly, his authority. Who did Jesus think he was, saying these things, doing these things? Well, of course, he was special. He was the Son of God. And it was John the Baptist who said, I have seen and I testify that this man, this person, is the Son of God. And through Jesus' life here on earth, we see examples of Jesus' authority. He had authority over nature. Do you remember he calmed the storm on the lake? He has authority over living creatures. Do you remember one day a coin was found in the mouth of a fish? Strange story. Authority over sickness, over death, over demons. Jesus is the Son of God, and therefore he has authority from God over all things. So that's why we should follow him. He has authority. He's authority of God. And then he has the authority and the ability to transform lives. So the fishermen going about their own business that day, Peter and Andrew, James and John, met Jesus and their lives were never the same again. They followed him and their lives were transformed. And for these early disciples, it was a change in job from fishing for fish to winning people for Jesus. The life of the fisherman, of course, was quite a hard job. It wasn't easy. Just don't go out and throw your nets out and all the fish come in. There was all these people on the island who worked hard all morning, pulling the nets carefully, and their work was rewarded. And of course, winning people for Jesus might be very similar in that it's not a straightforward and easy job, but they have to work hard and be disciplined about it. Someone has said that we are not called to be keepers of the aquarium, but to be fishers of men. For us today, Jesus can transform our lives. And if you're here this morning just curious about church, curious about what on earth happens in that church that's had the extension recently, wondering what goes on in here, well, our message is very straightforward. We encourage people to follow Jesus. Not to follow the church pastor, not to follow the church members, but to follow Jesus. He can give direction in our life if we follow him. He can give us forgiveness of sins if we repent and follow him. He can give us meaning and purpose in our life, direction in a life that might be without meaning. So his words, his actions, his authority, his ability to transform lives, reasons why we should follow Jesus. How should we follow Jesus? Well, Peter and Andrew and James and John immediately left what they had and followed Jesus. They left their nets. What else would they leave behind if they're fishermen? Their boats, their gear for fixing the nets. And James and John, of course, left their father behind. Now, he had an interesting name. Has anyone got a relation called Zebedee? No, so we can laugh a little bit. Their father was called Zebedee, and they left Zebedee behind in the boat, perhaps looking after their business, I'm not sure. They immediately left everything and followed Jesus. They didn't know what was ahead. They didn't know if they'd be back the next day or the next month, the next year. For some of them, they would probably never be back at all. And what was about to unfold was a journey that they could never have had anticipated. And the same is true for us, I guess. If we follow Jesus, who knows where our path and our journey might take us. Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, these quite solemn words, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." So deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Deny themselves means saying no to self-rule, to selfishness, to self-gratification, letting God rule our lives. Taking up your cross daily perhaps indicates the prospects of rejection and suffering, of sacrifice. And in a world that stands generally against Jesus, it's not easy sometimes to stand with Jesus. So we have to daily deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. So there we have. So the fishermen left things behind. There's that verse I referred to there, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. But also they then spent time with Jesus. Now it's easy for the fishermen, isn't it, who were called by Jesus to come with him. They spent time with him. They listened to his words. They learned from his actions. They picked up what he was all about just by being with him. And for us today, spending time with Jesus isn't possible physically because he's no longer on earth. He's in heaven. But spending time with Jesus, listening to Jesus, we can do through reading his word, through being taught from his word, through listening to the verses that we have recorded from Jesus, through listening to what God says to us as we pray and listen, and how God leads our lives. Now, in our conga line, it wasn't quite a conga line, but let's call it that for the sake of describing it accurately. It wasn't a conga line, but everyone followed my voice. Everyone headed out that way. We went roundabout. We clambered through the crash and we came back in. Everyone heard the voice. But the reality of life is that there are many voices shouting, "Follow me." So everyone came up the centre, but David over there could have shouted, "Follow me." Or Christian up there could have shouted, "Follow me." And some would have gone that way, some would have gone that way. And then the reality of life is that there are more than one voice is shouting, "Follow me." And to follow Jesus means commitment and focus and discipline. Some of the kids helped some of the other kids follow, keep in line. And there was support from other followers of me. And you can say for followers of Jesus, it's the same. We can encourage each other to follow him, not to be distracted, to stay on the road, to focus on Jesus. So our friends might be shouting, follow me. Our sports clubs might be shouting, follow me. Our work commitments might be shouting, follow me. But Jesus says to us this morning, follow me. So it's important to listen to Jesus' voice through the Bible, important to support and be supported by others who are following Jesus. And then as our lives are changed, then the inputs perhaps lead to these outputs. We confess him, so we tell others about Jesus. We say that he is our Lord, he's our Savior. We love him, we serve him, we obey him. We become like him. Interesting that Jesus said to the fishermen, I will make you fishers of men. There was a process. It doesn't say, and then you will be fishers of men, and then you are fishers of men. It's a learning and growing process, and it's the same in the Christian life, that perhaps you think, I'm not good enough to be a Christian. I'm not able to do what these people do. And you shouldn't be comparing yourselves, of course, against members of Bellevue Chapel, but comparing ourselves against the Lord Jesus Christ. But none of us are worthy, but Jesus will work in our lives to transform us and to make him more, make us more like him. Finally, and the kids have done fantastically well, this is the last slide. Who should follow, second last slide, who should follow Jesus? Who should follow Jesus? Now, who's excluded? Let's process of elimination. Who shouldn't follow Jesus? I wasn't looking for an answer on that one, Eli, but who shouldn't follow? Well, everyone should follow Jesus, and Jesus' invitation is open to all. There are no exclusions. We should all follow Jesus. And if you're perhaps not a Christian this morning, not a follower of Jesus, well, the message is very clear. Jesus invites you to repent and follow him. Turn from the things that are against God and turn into God's way, into God's path, and follow him in your life. And there's an invitation to you this morning to do that, to repent and follow Jesus. And if you're a Christian this morning, this message is equally loud and clear to you to follow Jesus. And perhaps in our journey, our lives do get distracted. We do come off the path. We do get diverted by other calls in our lives. Jesus says loud and clear this morning, follow me. And that might be a recommitment of our lives to him. It might be a step of baptism in a few weeks' time, perhaps. It might be joining the church and committing ourselves to serving in Bellevue or elsewhere, and perhaps it's becoming more a fisher of men, people who win others for Christ. So Jesus says to us this morning, each one of us, from the youngest, and it's great to have them with us, to the oldest in our congregation this morning, follow me. The invitation is open to you. And as I leave, perhaps I can ask this question, leave this question with you, and it's back to Stephen. Who are you following this morning? Amen.